This is Fresh Air. My guest, Dr. Lewis Thomas, has had a most distinguished medical career. He's a physician, researcher, president emeritus of the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, and the former dean of both the Yale and NYU medical schools. He's developed a popular following for his books of essays, reflecting on medicine, biology, man, and nature. His book, The Lives of a Cell, won a Pulitzer Prize and was a bestseller. In his new collection, The Fragile Species, Dr. Thomas criticizes the fast pace of today's hospitals, where everyone, even visitors, seems pressed for time. Everyone is too busy, and there's no longer enough time for the old meditative, speculative ward rounds or the amiable conversations at bedside. Little did Dr. Thomas know that he would be hospitalized when the book was published. We called him yesterday in his hospital room to see how he was feeling.
I'm feeling pretty good. Getting ready to go home. With luck, I think it's Thursday of this week, just a few days away. And as soon as I get home, my wife and I are hoping to get out to our regular house in East Hampton. So I'm vastly improved.
Can you explain the condition that you have?
Well, I broke my hip in a clumsy fall last year, and had it pinned, and then I had it replaced by an artificial joint, and it's taking a longer than usual time to recover, so I hobble around on a walker when I do hobble, and the rest of the time I'm in a wheelchair.
If I bring this up because I know that you've studied pathologies, and that, as you've said, you're obsessed with bacteria. But I believe that you have a rare kind of anemia where blood cells make too many antibodies?
Yep. They make too many of the wrong kind of antibodies. Don't make the right ones. I've got something dignified by the term Waldenström's syndrome, and I've had it for a number of years, but it's just now beginning to catch up with me.
Dr. Thomas, you started studying medicine in 1933 at Harvard Medical School. This was before antibiotics. And I'd like you to describe the role of doctor that you were trained for, what it meant to be a doctor when you started studying medicine.
Yeah. Well, at that time, during all of my medical school training at Harvard, between 33 and 37, I was convinced that the role of the doctor would forever be the same as the role that my father played as a general practitioner in his practice. It would be explaining what could be explained about the illness, giving the patient and the family a fair idea of how it was likely to turn out. And in most instances, the likelihood was that it would be better in the morning. And the relationship between the doctor and the patient was much more like that of a close, warm friend than it seems to be in the present time. And I think the gifts for making and establishing friendships is one of the most important parts of doctoring, and it is to some extent being neglected now because of the preoccupation with technology, and I think it has to do with the increasing complexity and urgency of diagnostic medicine. Not so much therapy that preoccupies hospitals these days. It's the attempt to arrive at a more and more precise diagnostic technology, and our tools for making an accurate diagnosis continue to get better, particularly in fields like radiology. And they are, by themselves, extraordinarily interesting to everybody on the other side, all the doctors, or tend to be preoccupied by this mission of understanding exactly what is going on, or at least understanding well enough to attach a name to the illness.
Dr. Lewis, what was it like for you to see your father when you needed a doctor? I assume it was your father who you went to for treatment?
Yeah, he looked after the family. Well, not really, now that I think about it. He called on his close friends and colleagues to look after the children in the family more often than he undertook that by himself. And a very wise decision it was.
Why did he bring in another doctor instead of treating you himself?
I think he felt that another doctor would be more objective and possibly more conservative and wouldn't be as swept away by anxiety as a father generally is when there's a sick child in the family.
I want to ask you what it was like for you as a doctor when antibiotics were developed, really changing the treatment that a doctor could prescribe.
Yeah, we couldn't believe it. It happened and began to happen in my last year at Harvard in 1937 when sulfonylamide and the related sulfonamides were developed and recognized as drugs that could kill bacteria without killing patients. And that was an overwhelming surprise. We believed, most of us, that anything that was toxic for bacteria would inevitably be toxic for our own cells. And we just, the effects of penicillin were unbelievable and perfectly wonderful. It was just about at that time that we recognized or began to recognize as medical students that we were in a new profession.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Lewis Thomas, and he has a new collection of essays called The Fragile Species. He's written several that have become very popular over the years, including The Lives of a Cell. Dr. Thomas is president emeritus of Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center and former dean of the NYU and Yale Schools of Medicine. And he's joining us today from his hospital room. He hopes to be going home from the hospital in the next couple of days. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Dr. Lewis Thomas is my guest. Let me ask you something about getting diagnosed when you're sick. Do you find yourself ever second-guessing your doctor's opinion, being a doctor yourself?
Oh, sure.
Well, how do you deal with that?
I turn out to be wrong, usually. Where issues have arisen, where I've been in doubt about the diagnosis or particular procedures, I simply turn out to be on the wrong side. And this is on issues of diagnosis and certainly not on issues of inner mechanisms involved in whatever the illnesses are that I've had. But I don't have any trouble dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned, actually, to nod my head and accept it.
Mm-hmm. So what is the prognosis for the condition that you have? What kind of course does it take?
Nobody really knows.
Uh-huh.
I'm in some kind of a remission now from the Waldenström's thing, which is related to lymphomas and sometimes terminates in leukemia, and I don't have any evidence of that kind of a change yet. Or if I did, I was given chemotherapy last year, and that seems to have been a very handy way of suppressing most of the abnormal cells that may have been giving me trouble before.
Are you good at dealing with uncertainty?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that you're...
I expect it.
You expect it? Do you think that your the direction that you've taken as a writer, as a kind of philosopher of science, has helped you deal with uncertainty in your own life?
No, I don't think so. Other way around, maybe.
Your ability to deal with uncertainty has led to the writing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think so.
In one of your essays, you write that we find it harder and harder to put up with the idea of dying. We know sooner or later we'll die, but we keep wanting it to be even later. I think that's a kind of really natural impulse, don't you?
Sure. Yeah.
So what's wrong with that?
Most natural of all our impulses.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the critique?
Well, I think when you get older, as I am now busy doing, it does become easier to accept the notion that there's an end in somewhere in sight. And it's nice to know, and not very many people, aside from savvy practitioners of medicine, not many people recognize that it's not all that much a difficult or unpleasant and almost never a painful experience to die. William Osler, I think, was the first to recognize that that he had never really observed what would be called a painful death. And I had the same experience. The only time I've ever in my life been close to the act of dying in one of my patients was when I was at Tulane in New Orleans, working in Charity Hospital, and observed a patient with rabies, and that was really a horrifying death. But except for that, I've seen quite a lot of people die, and I've never witnessed what I would call agony of death. It's really a rather peaceful undertaking.
I think, though, that the fear of death isn't just the fear of the pain of the process.
I think so, yeah. And the magnitude of the change, of course.
Right.
And also the unknown prospect of what lies ahead.
Doctor, when you're sick, do you find yourself thinking thoughts like this, thinking about death, or do you think about other things instead? Do you think it's not a good idea to think about that?
Not that it's not a good idea to think about death, but it's a better idea to keep busy. And because you can't get anywhere with meditating all that much on mortality, and get a lot further by reading, or in my case, by writing.
Have you been writing a lot while you've been in the hospital?
No, not very much, not as much as I hoped. But it's very hard for me to write sitting up with a pad in my lap, and I don't have a typewriter. And if I had one, it would be an awkward thing to use in a wheelchair. And also, I'm kind of lazy. I've got some ideas about what I would like to write, but I keep putting it off.
Do you think you're going to write about your experience as a patient?
I hadn't thought about it, but I might.
I think it would be interesting to read.
Yeah.
What do you think of the hospital food?
You know, here, it's extraordinarily good.
Uh-huh.
Except for the coffee. The coffee's awful, but the...
Was it instant?
The food, I don't know. I don't even know whether it's coffee. but the food in general is far better than I had expected, and far better than the kind of food we used to serve in hospitals when I was at the other end of things.
Now, I'd imagine some of the doctors who are seeing you might be almost a little self-conscious about treating you, especially people who are your former students, because you're so important. You have such stature in the medical field. You know, they might feel almost self-conscious, you know, diagnosing or you know, treating a medical great.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I have not in my case.
Mm-hmm.
No, I get told what to do by the most junior members of the faculty, and I do it.
Uh-huh.
I behave myself. best I can.
I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Not a bit.
And, you know, I hope you get to go home later this week.
I will.
That's definite?
That's definite, yeah.
Great, great, very good.
Hell or high water, I'm going home.
How long have you been in the hospital?
Month? Yeah. I don't know how many. 6.
Right.
Or something like it. In and out. No, I want to go home. I want to, not that I dislike the hospital, but I like my home.
Absolutely.
And I want to see more of my wife and my children. So I'm going.
Well, great.
I'm rolling.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Terry.
And I wish you the best.
Right. Thank you very much.
Dr. Lewis Thomas spoke to us from his hospital room. He has a new collection of essays called The Fragile Species. This is Fresh Air.